Help is on the way. That's right. This is Jeff Worrell bringing you our latest expert on PT Talker this week. Dr. Herb Karpatkin has some information that I'll bet you'll find useful as you deal with patients suffering from multiple sclerosis. We'll be right back.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
And we're back. Dr. Karpatkin, you are our guest, our expert this week. Welcome to PT Talker.
Glad to be here.
Now, Doctor, you did a research study that shows that, you and I were talking off air, and I kind of commented, this sounds like common sense, but you've got some really great ideas as far as those patients that are suffering from multiple sclerosis. But your study that's now in abstract form and you've presented, we'll get into all that, but persons with MS, you found that intermittent walking was less fatiguing than continuous walking. I kind of said, duh. But you said, well, it's not always as obvious. Can you give us a little bit of the reasoning behind why you decided to approach this particular subject in your study?
Absolutely. The problem, I think, facing most physical therapists dealing with multiple sclerosis is that the most common symptom with multiple sclerosis is neurogenic fatigue. It prevents patients with multiple sclerosis from exercising vigorously enough to make meaningful changes in their functional condition. This has often led to patients with MS not getting the therapy they needed and the therapist getting frustrated because the patients would fatigue before a large amount of exercise could be done. Based on discussions I've had with my patients, I simply use a simple expedient of having my patients take rests rather than a patient exercising continuously for 20 to 30 minutes, which of many patients with MS cannot do. I would tell them to exercise for 5 minutes, rest for 5 minutes, exercise for 5 minutes, rest for 5 minutes. And we would keep this going for a while until the sum total of exercise would be 30, 40, 50 minutes.
Right. Your logic of this was that rather than just give up and not be able to do anything because of the fatigue factor, your logic was let's try this and see if this works?
It was really not much of a question for me to see if it would work. My patients were assuring me from the start that it would work, mm-hmm. that all I need to do was give them the proper rest and they could get large amounts of work done. So I simply conducted a study which proved that it worked.
Yeah, but I guess maybe the better question is that conventional theory would not follow what you did. Conventional theory was there's really nothing that can be done to help these patients as far as exercise goes.
That is correct to a large extent. There's even in some of the textbooks on rehabilitation medicine, it said persons with multiple sclerosis should not exercise as it would lead to an exacerbation, even though there's a fair amount of research, including mine, which has shown that not to be the case.
Okay. Now, let's go back. Let's get your credentials here. You are a PT, and you own Herb Karpatkin Physical Therapy in New York, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And what city in New York?
New York City.
New York City, okay. And then you are also an assistant professor at Hunter College City University of New York, and you obviously teach some classes, but you have a specialty in dealing with MS patients.
That's correct. I teach neurorehabilitation classes at Hunter College, but I do have a neurologic clinical specialist certification from the American Physical Therapy Association, and I'm also a multiple sclerosis certified specialist through the Consortium of Multiple Sclerosis Centers.
Perfect. And that is the group that you presented your abstract. What was the response? How was it received?
It was received with a great deal of interest. I was, of course, preaching a bit to the converted over there, but it was information that people were very pleased to see that it was going to be available to therapists en masse. So I think many therapists who do specialize in MS have a lot of frustration because they find too many other therapists have a sense that it's not worth working with patients with MS because they can't improve.
Yeah. So let's get into then what you actually found, and do you have now a suggested protocol that you can offer to our listeners as to the correct way to provide exercise to MS patients.
Absolutely. In my study, I took a group of MS patients with a very wide spectrum of disease, from minimally to rather severely impaired. I had them walk 6 minutes continuously and had them rate their fatigue both before and after the walk. Then I had them 1 week later walk for 2 minutes, rest for 2 minutes, walk for 2 minutes, rest for 2 minutes, and walk again for 2 minutes. In each case, therefore, they walked for a total of 6 minutes. But when the self-rated fatigue scale was done after the intermittent walking, it was much, much lower, very significantly lower than if they walked continuously. If you had repeated this test with non-MS patients, you would not have seen a difference between the two groups. With persons without MS, whether they have neurologic conditions or not, there would be a minimal difference in perceived fatigue between the two conditions.
Sure.
With MS patients, there was a very large difference. In terms of giving a prescription for physical therapy, the important thing that this study can do is it says you can actually give your patients, it suggests that you could actually give your patients a fairly aggressive workload, simply give them a rest intermittently. For example, if you wanted to have your patient walk for 10 or 15 minutes, rather than have them walk 15 minutes continuously, have them walk 3 or 4 minutes, rest for 3 or 4 minutes, walk for 3 or 4, rest for 3 or 4. And in this manner, they could achieve a great deal of exercise without building up any fatigue.
Okay.
If you had them walk for a long period of time without resting, they would never complete the exercise.
Right. And are you kind of suggesting 15 to 20 minutes is the ideal target for an MS patient, or does that vary from patient to patient?
It would tremendously vary. I would never make that kind of a suggestion.
Okay.
Because of the wide variety of disability you could see in patients with MS, you have to look at each patient in a quite an individual manner. What I would suggest therapists do is they give their patients a workload and then gauge their fatigue as they go. At the early sign of fatigue, let the patient rest 2 minutes, 3 minutes, then have them repeat it. If they fatigue again too quickly, the rest break wasn't long enough.
Yeah.
And the idea is to figure out how much rest they need to accomplish a set amount of work.
Right.
Let me finish this point. It's all related to what the specific goal of the exercise is. Are you trying to improve their endurance? Are you trying to improve their strength?
Okay.
Et cetera.
All right. Now, share with our listeners, too, just real quickly, what were your indicators of fatigue that you used?
I used several indicators of fatigue. I used the fatigue severity scale to get a sense of their baseline fatigue. And the rating on the fatigue severity scale was 3.6, which indicates a overall mild to moderate range of fatigue, although the overall range of fatigue was from 1.5 to 6.7 on my scale, which is a very wide array of fatigue. I also used a visual analog scale of fatigue where the patient simply marked what their level of fatigue is on a line and at the beginning of the walk and at the end of the walk.
Okay.
And we simply measure the difference between the two lines in centimeters for each walking condition and then compare the differences. So we use, by necessity, we had to use subjective measures of fatigue because fatigue is so multifactorial that you can't have any one single physiologic measure of fatigue. So we use patient subjective measures. Either the fatigue severity scale was usable, the visual analog fatigue scale was usable. We also could have used the fatigue impact scale.
Okay.
All of those are acceptable measures of fatigue. The advantage of the visual analog scale of fatigue is it could be used instantaneously during exercise.
Mm-hmm. And how many subjects were in your study?
We had 30 subjects.
30 subjects, okay. Now, would your data cross over and could a therapist who's out there in the field struggling with this, do you believe that it would be appropriate to try and apply some of your same assumptions over to, say, an upper body ergometer, putting an MS patient?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. It does require, though, that the therapist observes the patient quite carefully. You simply can't place the patient on an upper body ergometer and ask them and walk away from them. You have to observe them for signs of fatigue, ask them how they're doing, see if their performance is starting to decrease, and then at the first sign of fatigue, make them stop and recover. Rather than letting them work until they can no longer work stop them at the first sign of fatigue, but it could be used for walking, upper body ergometry, lower body ergometry. I found it useful for any single type of activity that an MS patient would use.
Yeah, it would seem to me that that would help you recognize fatigue also if you had some kind of objective device that is helping to let you know that speed is decreasing or something, or revolutions are decreasing.
Absolutely, absolutely. For example, we put patients on a treadmill, mm-hmm. and we see if their inability to maintain a certain pace, if they start to have more gait deviations at a certain pace, that would be a sign that they're having more difficulty. If we find that their heart rate is going up, their pulse rate is going up. So we use any objective measures that we can, but it's usually the subjective measures that we pay the most, that we pay the closest attention to.
Okay, all right. Now, if one of our listeners out there wanted to get a copy of your abstract, is that something that you are comfortable sharing with your peers at this point?
Absolutely, they could. Absolutely. Well, it's published in the on the Consortium of Multiple Sclerosis Centers website, mscare.org.
Okay.
But I would be more than happy if they wanted to contact me directly.
All right.
Wait,
if you're comfortable giving out your email, or I can give them our PT feedback email, whichever you
want. My email is right on my website. It's HerbKarpPT, H-E-R-B-K-A-R-P-T.
Okay.
At gmail.com, and you can also get it off my website, which is, appropriately enough, multiplesclerosisphysicaltherapy.com.
Perfect. Okay, excellent. All right, well, we are out of time for right now, but very interesting, and sounds to me, one thing I wanted to point out to our listeners is you said to me that it is your personal goal that you are trying to create as many tools and aids as possible in the world of physical therapy for patients suffering from multiple sclerosis. Do I have that right?
That is correct, and I want to thank you very much for saying that, because I feel that persons with MS have been not receiving optimal physical therapy from our profession, and it saddens me because I feel there's an enormous amount of good that PTs can do for persons with MS. The research, unfortunately, hasn't been there, and so vast majority of my research is all geared towards trying to increase the amount of clinical tools that are available to PTs who choose to work with this population. But if you with a few simple understandings of what the disease is about, you can do extremely effective therapy for these patients.
Well, it's taking trailblazers like yourself, Doctor, to make that happen and bring awareness to all of us, which is why PT Talker is so happy to have you on our show today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have this conversation with you.
Great. Okay. You've been listening to Dr. Herb Karpatkin. He is a PT DSC assistant professor at Hunter College, City University of New York, as well as his own private practice, where he is helping not only to help the patients that he sees suffering from MS, but to develop tools and aids that will help other therapists. And so I hope that you've enjoyed this expertise that we brought to you today, and want to remind you that previous episodes of PT Talker are available on iTunes. This is Jeff Worrell signing off for today, saying let's get out there and help someone get well today.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.